the work on labyrinths, you move then from thinking about space as blurring the line between fictionalization and reality, but also think of borders and fencing. And I found that work really fascinating as well, because earlier as well, you were thinking about the material object. Can I gather these material objects? What were you trying to do in that particular piece when you're producing this kind of collage effect?
I think it started for me just really thinking through choreography, and I was thinking a lot about what it means to dance and what it means when someone directs you through a certain kind of movement through space. And partly maybe because I've never been very comfortable thinking of myself as a performer or dancer. And I've tried getting myself involved in dance environments or performance workshops. And hearing this, that you know, we all have our own movements if we just let ourselves into it. But then I walked through this city and realize how I am often not left to my own devices. The subtle and not so subtle infrastructural ways that don't in some ways announce themselves through signs or language, but they really direct your movement. They tell you where to cross, not to cross, how to move through streets or even when there are no streets or a field. And I started getting really annoyed. But then I also thinking, well, this is a kind of emergent choreography. They did not intend to think of this as a kind of movement-related devices, but they very much are of a movement vocabulary. So I then think of the other ways that they have begun to shape movement generally. And then the other piece of information that really got me started on putting all the work together was when I found, I don't know what the parliamentary records are called here, INSAAD, something like that. I found that they approved for the Ministry of Home Affairs an increase in the budget for coastal fencing to a point where I think we have more coastal fencing than we have shoreline on the main island of Singapore. And these coastal fences are highly defensive. And, you know, we have like 50 odd islands, but they intend to make several of them completely uninhabitable. So they surround those totally. And actually, if you take a certain route to Riau, actually, you will see them, like small islands that only have mangroves or small stands of weeds that are completely surrounded. The second type that they approved that was highly extended was that they generated these maritime fences that blue barrel buoys that are connected by chainmail. But both are meant partly to enforce our no refugee policy. So they intend, the blue barrels are intended to prevent ships from coming close enough where you could swim to shore or that you could physically land on something. And the same thing with those island fences. And then the final item that they produced was these kinds of stone base gravel mix that they then generate very, very high walls that will not be out of place in Israel-Palestine. You know, I mean, in terms of the materiality of it and the solidity of it, it'll be like that kind of fence. And those three things plus the fence that I see every day came together in a way that I thought they are the fences that we are already out of sight because they are basic infrastructure, and then they are the fences and borders that constrain our movement and define sovereignty and territory and our sense of citizenship and a nation that are completely out of sight because they are out in the water or in places that we almost never go to or can never arrive in even if we want to. And I thought, what are the other moments where I feel space has been constrained? Not discursive space, but territorial, physical space have been constrained. Or even the contestation for spaces or the demands made on public space have been foreclosed in certain number of ways. So I started thinking about what happened with Pink Dot last year, with Sungai Road and with Oxley Road. And
so the iterations become almost like, I mean, they're repetitions, they're echoes of each other. Because if one thing works in one space, then why not replicate it? Mm-hmm. And of course I think it's just colonial. You got to rule by segregating, categorizing, labeling, and keeping apart, right? And that's fun. No, nobody wants to think about that, but it's true. Maybe two more questions. Okay. One, I'm really interested in the fact that you turned to Boy Kim Cheng to think about the coast.
Yeah.
And why? You know, you've been talking about surveillance technology, but kind of almost like a brutalist kind of like control over regimentation space. But then on the other hand, you have this lyric poetry on mm-hmm. the other side. So in your mind, what is that relationship?
Well, quickly about the works, you mentioned found objects, but the assemblages, they relate to your early question. I haven't done a show in Singapore for 3 years, so I wanted to let people know that I've been doing a number of different things, but they can come together. So actually, some of the objects were found, but they were mostly fabric.
Mm-hmm.
The rest were actually, I fabricated the fence,
mm-hmm.
as well as the wood, and there is photography in there, as well as watercolor mm-hmm. paintings. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. They're really beautiful.
So that's one reason why the works came out that way. Then I was thinking about creating a large installation that could demonstrate the way that your movement will be shaped by space,
mm-hmm.
through space, without me having to say very much. Like, I didn't want to do the conceptual move where you write it out in the text and then you read it and understand what you're doing. When I was rereading Kim Ching's book again, and this line really popped out where he says, you move from the coast of remembering to the coast of forgetting. And I thought that, you know, that path could not possibly be a straight line. You're likely to move from coast to coast in the way that you get swept by the winds. It's a zigzag. It's labyrinthine in its own way. And then I also found that these tactile paving that's used to guide the visually disabled, it was actually patented in Singapore. So I decided to write that line of Kim Ching's verse in Morse code so that you could actually tap your way and read his work, so to speak. And that even if you can't read the work, as you move through the space, you know that you're navigated by something that is a code, that's a mm-hmm. linguistic code. You could see that the patterns don't quite repeat, or they repeat in ways that suggest vowels mm-hmm. or articles.
And is the space accessible to somebody else not able-bodied?
Yeah. And then everyone will face an obstacle. With the way that the fence are cut and the way they abut the wall, no one will find the exit because I smashed the exit into the wall. So...
Oh, that's so existential.
I really have a great deal of difficulty with the production of nostalgia in art and culture here, that for me it becomes the production of an effect that only allows urban development and to proceed as it had always has, you know, that rather than produce counter movements to it. So it's also a reason why I move between these two coasts of remembering and forgetting through that labyrinth. Yeah, because I'm like, we're getting lost in it, we're not finding a way out. I'm not sure. Nostalgia's the way to go.